Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on QR Calgary and More Than Money. I guess a happy new year. I don't know if we can still say that.
You can say it till Valentine's Day.
Okay, sounds good. This is an order. Good to see you again, my friend. Listen, we finished out last year. We're getting into tax season. People have to prepare their taxes. And so I think it's incumbent upon us to review what people should be aware of, not just what's here now, but perhaps what's coming as well.
And there's no one better than having our reoccurring guest, Jamie Golenbeck, Managing Director of Tax and Estate Planning at CIBC, joining us. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. So we are entering now into a new year. There has been some changes. Of course, the one that gets the headline for most Canadians is the increase in potential CPP for some Canadians. That's a given. We've heard about that already. A lot of press and attention on social media and on conventional media. But let's talk about the other things. What should people be aware of from a tax perspective on changes in 2024?
Okay, well, there's not a lot of changes that are new for this year. There's a few sort of things that might affect you depending on your personal situation. So, you know, for very high income individuals, of course, we have the looming alternative minimum tax changes, which are set to come into place as of January 1st, 2024. And this really only applies to people in the very high tax bracket. Your exemption for minimum tax is $173,000. So, you know, unless listeners make over $173,000, they really don't have to worry about this. But for high income individuals, there is a proposal. Again, it's still draft legislation, but it's supposed to be effective as of January the 1st. And we're still waiting on an update on that. Parliament doesn't resume until the end of January. But in theory, this could be a concern. So all I would say is, we've talked about this before, is that if you're in the very high bracket and you've got, you know, I would call specialized items. And what I mean by that is tax preferred items. Things like capital gains, which are only 50% taxable, eligible dividends that get the benefit of dividend tax credit, losses carried forward from a prior year, large tax deductions, you know, interest expense, things like that, charitable donations, things like that are significant. You may want to speak to your accountant. You may want to speak to your tax professional now at the beginning of the year, just to see if there's things that you could be doing through the rest of 2024 to try to mitigate the potential for AMT. Because there are strategies. I mean, things like taking extra income, making extra RSP or RIF withdrawals, things like that, that could actually, depending on your personal situation, eliminate the AMT. So that's kind of one area, again, very narrow. And then the only other thing I think think of that's relatively new, it's only a few months old now, of course, is the first home savings account. Now, many listeners may already own their first home, but we're now finding that the FHSA is a great way for parents and for grandparents to do some advanced intergenerational gifting. What I mean by that is the opportunity to gift each child or grandchild over the age of 18, $8,000 a year, to allow them to start saving for their first home. Now remember, you can't open up an FHSA for them, but if you give them $8,000, they open up their own FHSA, they put the money in there, it grows completely tax-free, and if they're low income, they don't actually have to claim the tax deduction right now. They can actually save that for a future year where they're in a higher tax bracket. And as long as they buy their first home or condo within 15 years, the entire balance of the first home savings account, which could be up to $40,000 of contributions, plus all the income and the growth over 15 years can be withdrawn completely tax-free. And the best news is there's no downside, because at the end of the day, if in 15 years you don't buy a home, you can take the entire amount out and pay tax if you want, or you can move the entire amount into an RSP or RIF and you don't even have to have the contribution room. So I think those are kind of the two new things, I think, for 2024. A few very minor things in terms of trust reporting and the brackets have been indexed to inflation, but we don't see anything major sort of that I've come across our radar in the last few weeks.
I think the FHSA, First Home Savings Account, is something that needs to be looked at by everyone. We know in the last couple of years, let's go through the entire pandemic as well, more and more parents, as they went through retirement, were trying to support their children with purchasing a home or helping their grandchildren, as Jimmy was talking about. And I think understanding that this is a vehicle, a program, that I call it a gimme. It's not very often that the government gives us a gimme that you can just actually put money aside and you can gift money. It's in their name. And I literally did this on Friday for my 18-year-old daughter. Yep. She turned 18 this week.
Yep.
And I literally got that set up for her right away, knowing that this is going to help her. And she's in first university. And based on what she wants to do for a living, it's going to be about 10 years before she actually gets employment income that can be worthwhile saving it. So we've got lots of time now to let the markets grow, let the savings happen, let the deduction happen for her. I think this is huge. I was trying to convince my dad to throw some money in, but he's cheap sometimes, so he's not doing that. But that being said, Jamie has a good point for everybody. Make sure you take a look at this, not just if you've got children or grandchildren who are looking, but this is a good opportunity to transition. You did mention, though, Jamie, about some indexing of the brackets. I think that's an opportunity for those who are looking at withdrawing from their RSPs or RIF. They can withdraw a bit more now and still pay the same amount of tax they would have last year. Beyond just the withdrawal of an RSP, the indexation of brackets, is there any other benefit to Canadians, especially those who are transitioning to living in retirement that they should be aware of?
Well, of course, the big one that I'm sure you're hinting at is, of course, the new tax-free savings account, Room, because starting on January 1st, 2024, we now have $7,000. So because of the inflation, we had the inflationary increase, that also affects the amount that we can contribute to a tax-free savings account. So especially for retirees that are finished contributing to their RSPs, and now even RIF withdrawals over 71, you now have this additional opportunity to take that money out of the RSP or RIF. If you don't need it and you don't spend it, why not then put it right back into a tax-free savings account? There's no age limit with a TFSA. And this year you can put in another $7,000 per person. So that's $14,000 per couple. So I think that's really important. And that's another advantage of course, having the numbers indexed to inflation.
We have a couple minutes before we go to commercial break. You had one a question for
just
Jamie.
Just a quick one. Let's maybe remind everyone. So people are now going to be preparing their taxes for 2023. Jamie, we've got 2 minutes left. Quick comment on what people should remember, be thinking about, major mistakes that are made for filing your taxes for 2023.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's not a lot of stuff you can do at this point. I mean, the only thing you can still do is make an RSP contribution. You can't make any more charitable donations. You can't sell any stocks. You can't do tax loss selling because, you know, anything we're doing now is going to be for 2024. So really, when you're filing your return, you're being retroactive. So, you know, the only things that really come up on the return, of course, is, you know, pooling medical expenses, putting them on the lower income taxpayer. That's an easy one, right? Making that RSP contribution within the February 29th 60-day deadline. Of course, that's an easy one. That will save you taxes for last year. And the other big one that just came up with a client yesterday, of course, is pension splitting. The opportunity to split half your pension income. That includes RIF withdrawals, by the way, once you're over 65. And that's an election that you file every year with your tax return. So again, these are the kind of things that you want to be thinking about. But I mean, I think the message I would say is that now is the time not to think about last year. Let's think about this year. What can we be doing starting in January, whether it's being strategic on charitable giving, using donor advised funds, donating in kind to charity. Maybe we want to reduce taxes for the rest of the year by applying for a reduction of tax at source. Now is the time. Let's focus on 2024. 2023 is already behind us.
And that's a great segue.
What a great tease for the next the next conversation we're going to have with Jamie. You know, Jamie has been talking about this so far, about ways to reduce your tax burden. We call that 3D, deduct, divide, defer. We're going to be discussing this and other strategies to make sure you can bulletproof your retirement at our upcoming seminar on Tuesday, January 23rd, 7 p.m., live at the Country Hills Golf Club. Now, you do have to register for this, so go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
All right. Well, stick around after the break. Jamie's already done a good job of teasing the fact that, listen, the real tax planning for 2024 starts now. What should we be doing? Join us after the break to hear what he has to say. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.